The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. When you drive your new Kia Sportage, prepare to be noticed.
Podcast today's show at rte.ie/John Murray.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.
Well, my next guest has his shoes on and is still on a high after his club St Vincent's won the All-Ireland Club Championship not so long ago. And yesterday, after a victory over Cork, the Dubs are now on their way to the Allianz Football League final with Derry. Ger Brennan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Catherine.
Listen, great match. I was only listening to Desi just on Morning Ireland there. Great second half comeback. 8 points down, taken to the pitch in the second half.
Yeah, I suppose it was... There was a lot of things we weren't doing right in the first half, which kind of led to us being down by so much. We were probably weren't playing together as a team, and defensively we had a lot of things to work on going into half time, and indeed offensively. And I think we got things right when we came out into the second half, and Cork possibly maybe took their eye off the ball a small bit, given the great start that they did have. But again, it's just testament to, I suppose, the effort of the lads when they come out in the second half.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations again. And we were just saying during the break there, we met quite some time ago, 14 years ago?
14 years ago. I suppose when I started playing for Dublin on the 14th,
yeah,
yourself and Jason Sherlock were doing a show called Rapids.
Yeah, Rapids.
So Rapids, following around young teams and young sports stars.
Well, sure, I was only a child. You must have only been a baby back then. I was 21 or 22.
I was 14, 15.
Okay.
We were happy to see you catching at that stage.
Well, isn't it great that we're still holding on to doing what we love?
Yeah.
Well, listen, as I said, great to have you in. And after you won the All-Ireland Club Championship with Vincent's, what you had to say caught a lot of people's attention. Let's just take a listen again.
I think it's just... Before I go to our management, to the family, girlfriends, boyfriends, and the players, and everyone involved, there's a lot of work that goes into playing for your club team on a day in the county. And there's always an awful lot of support which is there behind us.
So that's the comment. It's been talked about. It's been all over social media. And it was you thanking the players, girlfriends, and boyfriends of the team. So why did you feel that was what you should do?
Well, I suppose firstly, I have been asked subsequently about what I said following the game, and you know, I was quite surprised to hear of how much media attention it had picked up, because there was no forethought really went into it. And I suppose going into a final, and maybe other captains of teams would relate to this, I think it's bad luck to be planning speeches and so on and so forth. So when I was speaking quite openly and quite generally, and that's the type of person I am. And as a member of the GAA and as a member of the Gaelic Players Association, it's all about diversity. It's all about inclusiveness. And if a person, man or woman, is playing for their club or county, I don't see what their sexuality has to do with anything. It's about a person being happy and being true to themselves. So
sure,
you know, it's along those lines.
But did you get a big reaction when you came down and in the dressing room, or you know, in the bar afterwards? Did you realise the power of what you just said? Maybe
not particularly, really. And again, I've been given plaudits, and I don't really like taking plaudits for something that I would say quite naturally. And I don't see what the big fuss again is about. You know, I am someone who is very open to people's sexualities, and it doesn't really bother me at all. So it's on that premise that I was quite surprised to hear how much media attention it did gather.
I mean, there was a big reaction online, as I said, mainly from the equality forums. Brian Sheehan, the director of GLEN, the Gay and Lesbian Equality Network, said, "I think the point is that Ireland has transformed and the GAA has transformed with it in an opening and welcoming way. I think what Ger did and what the Cusack brothers did is acknowledge there are gay and lesbian people in every parish and they're welcome in the GAA."
Absolutely. And I suppose the Cusack brothers, Stone Logue and Connor, they would have stood up, and they were true and honest with themselves. And true freedom can only come with being honest with oneself and with those closest to you. And I suppose it does reflect on our society as a whole, whereby maybe a couple of years ago, to see a man, woman, woman holding hands going down the street, it would turn many, many heads. But it's probably turning less heads these days. And
I would say, though, that it's, say, for example, in my line of work, media and television and whatever, it turns less heads. But still in sport, it's still taboo. I mean, I think that's why it's probably caused such a big reaction, because it is still only emerging. It's still struggling to be seen as okay. You know, when you think of the Premiership, you know, there's no openly gay players in the Premiership, you know, that the Cusack brothers came out and it was such a big statement as such.
Well, I suppose as a heterosexual, I wouldn't be able to come from the situation of someone who is homosexual, such as Donald Logue and Connor, and maybe the pressures that they would have felt to come out, given the machoism which is associated with male sports and indeed over in the Premiership. But again, it comes down to a person being honest with themselves. And on the other side, it comes down to society, to teammates, to the sport itself, to embrace that diversity and to embrace or to show inclusivity to all its members, whatever the sport is, you know.
And I think, you know, I think that's so important. I think it was last month, when England were playing and there was a Twitter campaign saying one of the players is gay, and it took Ashley Cole, had to come out and say it's not me, and somebody else had to come out and say it's not me. You know, there was this almost denial, you know, that quite surprising.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that, and I guess, again, if that's people's own prerogative. If they feel they need to defend their sexuality, well, let them be. To me, I don't really care. I've enough things in life I think are more important to be worrying about. And once a person is, again, being true and honest to themselves, and once society, and again, as a member of the GAA and GPA, once they show inclusivity and diversity in how they treat others.
Is that being encouraged from the top,
Absolutely.
Ranks of the GAA?
Yeah, it's part of the ethos of the GAA, and in particularly the Gaelic Players Association, to be inclusive of all people, despite in light of their sexuality. It's who cares if someone is trying their best as a sports person to represent their club and their county or their school? Well, then, you know, I don't see what the big fuss or the furore is about a person's sexuality. And I guess the furore probably comes down to Irish society's understanding of homosexual activity and so on, and but it is something which is changing quite slowly.
Last time you were on the show, you spoke about being a devout Catholic and you have a very strong faith. This is an important time of year for you. I was talking to Linda. I mean, Easter is a very important time for you.
It is, and I was chatting to Mariam the last time, and she kind of put me in the box of a devout Catholic, and that's something which I kind of removed myself from, because I think that creates immediate images and judgments in people's heads, and I think it's quite maybe an old school judgment of someone on their knees praying 24/7, and you know, that's something I am not. I'm someone who certainly believes in God. I believe that God's Spirit became incarnate through Christ to show us God's true nature, to show us forgiveness and compassion, and I believe that the Holy Spirit was left to give people the strength, provided they want to listen to it, they want to accept the invitation to love. I believe that gives people the strength in that way. But to go back to Holy Week, it is the central, most important time of the Christian church throughout the world. And it's an opportunity for the church as a whole to recall the final moments of Christ's life on earth as a human being. And it's also a great opportunity, as I would see, for individuals to look at their personal relationship with whatever it is they believe in. And for me, it's an opportunity to look at my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And, you know, we celebrate our birthdays, we celebrate anniversaries, we celebrate deaths and so on, and we remember people. So it's a great opportunity to remember people and to remember what Christ did for us.
Have you always had a very strong faith?
I have, I guess, and it stems from home. It's my mother Mary, my father PJ. They would have brought us to church in Garner Street Church and Berkeley Road Church, and I would have been very much involved in my local parish from a young age through the Music Makers Altar Service Club, and I would have gone on to play in the Garner Street Gospel Choir as well. And through that involvement, I met many great people who I would say had God in their hearts. And as you know, Catherine, if you surround yourself with the right people, opportunities present themselves. And if you are honest with yourself and something feels good in your gut, well, then you got to go with it. And that's how I try to live my life. I try to be honest with myself I try to listen to the goodness within me and within the world, and I try to follow that as best I can.
And you're teaching at St. Kevin's College in Ballygall. How have you been preparing the students? You're a religious teacher as well, right?
Yeah, I teach religion, Irish, some
which
history.
I don't know whether it's wrong to sort of presume this, but I can't imagine it's the easiest thing to get a load of kids to sit down. You know, it's not cool. It's not, is it easy to keep their attention? Do they know how strong your faith is? How do they, do they question you about it? Do they accept it?
I'm absolutely very fortunate to be teaching in St. Kevin's with a group of lads from 12 to 18 year olds who question everything, not just the RE teacher, they question everyone and authority. But they actually make you think about what it is you do believe in, because you need to develop a language to help them understand your faith, not to impose your faith upon them, but to inform them of why it is that you believe or that I believe. And I would see, and I have witnessed, a change in the majority of the students I've taught and who attend the school in relation to their faith and their search for meaning in life. And, when we talk about Holy Week, the week just gone in school, we would have taken to go to the school down to the local church to go through the Stations of the Cross and to help the students prepare for Holy Week and to remind them of what Christ did for us. And quite often when you ask the question, what did Christ do for us? Well, you're told, well, he died for our sins. And that's something which I've always struggled with, like, what exactly does that mean? And, you know, I've had some great conversation with some of the senior guys in the school, and when I think of the fact that Christ died for our sins, I think of Irish society. I think of society back then, whereby people continually judge people on mistakes that they've made, and there's no opportunity for redemption. There's no opportunity to say sorry. You're literally tarred with the one brush, and you're stuck with that image for life. And when I think of the example of Christ, there is that opportunity in your heart to be forgiven, to have that weight lifted off your shoulders, and to focus on the good things within humanity and within the world, and to develop closer to God, to grow and reach a person's full potential. And that's what I think about when I think of the fact that Christ died for our sins.
Mm-hmm. And it must be, I mean, I'm listening to you there now, right? And it's, you're what, 25?
28, but thanks.
28, looking good. But you know, it's not every day you hear somebody as young as you coming on and speaking so passionately about and having such a strong faith. And it's almost, you know, the beginning of the interview, we were talking about it being fine to be gay and you don't have any preconceptions and you don't have a problem with anybody's sexuality. Mm. We're all fine about talking about being gay or being straight, and very, you know, we don't hear people talking about the religion. We don't hear people talking about faith, which has been such a huge change.
Yeah, I guess it has. And, you know, I would take great inspiration from Pope Francis, and in particularly his actions. And he was asked on the question of homosexuality, and I love his answer. He says, if a person is living a good life full of love and kindness and compassion, who is he to judge? And I would come from the same school of thought, and that comes from home and my mother in particular. And, you know, again, it comes down to a person being true to themselves. If you want to find true happiness in the world, you need to follow your heart. Do you always know where your heart is taking you? You don't. So you need to spend time, for me, in prayer. You need to spend time making mistakes, seeking forgiveness, talking to other people. And if you can be open to the Spirit, for me, within my heart, and if people are open to the goodness within themselves and they go with it, they'll never go wrong, and life will be a happy, well, their journey on earth will be a very enjoyable experience. Mm.
And I feel for somebody like you, with St. Francis, with him being Pope, or Francis being Pope, first Jesuit Pope as well. Mm. It's almost a step forward for the Catholic Church. Do you feel that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great step forward. And I would have received a Jesuit education in Belvedere College too. Mm. So I was and continue to be very much influenced by Ignatian spirituality in how I try to sustain and improve my faith. And I guess I would see Pope Francis is a quite practical and pragmatic man in taking the faith and applying it to life situations. And while he does acknowledge that rules and regulations are there and doctrines within the church to help guide us, if you become overly bound by rules, regulations and policy, you actually miss out on the person and the human experience. And I think if you look at the example of Christ, while he didn't necessarily neglect the rules or the law of Moses that the Pharisees would have accused him of, he was simply giving more focus to the person, showing compassion, eating with sinners, being forgiving. And in those human actions, people felt loved, they felt good about themselves, and they were able to grow. And I think Pope Francis is someone who embodies the spirit of Christ in what he does and what he says.
Absolutely. Before I let you go, tell me a little bit about WALK.
Yeah, so WALK is a Dublin-based charity, and there many people might not necessarily have heard about them, but they were set up in 67 to basically offer services to people with learning difficulties at all different levels. And it's a charity which gives these people the opportunity to determine their own direction in lives. So instead of leaving people on the side or, bringing them from place to place, you give them an opportunity to choose what they want to do. So on the 21st of June, there is a WALK challenge. There's a fundraiser in the Ivy House and the Ivy Grounds over in Drimna. And it's an opportunity for companies to get involved in team activities, which involve kind of fitness, dexterity, such as archery and so on, and to raise money for a great cause. And all the money from that charity day will go towards providing a multifunctional building in Walkinstown, which will incorporate activities and services for the whole community and not just the service users. There'll be gardens there, there'll be IT facilities, there'll be a cafe, there'll be community rooms and so on, where service users and the community can come together and they can be fulfilled, they can reach their human potential in whatever it is that may be. So I'd encourage companies to get on to walk.ie. Okay. Or to contact Declan Murray at walk.ie to find out more about the sports day on the 21st of June. It'll be a great event, and myself and a couple of the lads from the team will be heading over as well to try and challenge any other companies that come in.
Brilliant stuff. A couple of texts coming in for you here. Lovely man. Nice to hear such faith. It's uplifting. And that comes in from Mary. Thank you so much, Ger. Can we have more interviews like this? I have a lot of faith in God, and Jesus means a lot to me, like hundreds of others. This man is fascinating. And that is from Marie. So touching a lot of people out there this morning. So well done. Great to see you.
Thanks,
looking so well. And let me take the time to wish you a happy Easter.
Thanks, Catherine. And to yourself, I must add as well that people, I hate being portrayed as this perfect fella, isn't he great, because the reality is I make loads of mistakes, and I'm a dosser as well when it comes down to, my friends know that too. But I think if people can have forgiveness in their hearts to others and seek forgiveness to others they've wronged, I think life will be a much better place.
Ger Brennan, pleasure. Back after this.
Podcast today's show at rte.ie/John Murray.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.